And welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, January 4th, 2014. This is Season 8, Episode 1. I'm Scott.
I'm James.
I'm Dennis.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Matt.
And I'm RJ.
Holy cow! Never have we had this. Well, we have, but it's been a very long time since we've had a full house in the building with us for the first show of Season 8 for us. And welcome everyone to the show. Welcome everybody in the chat room. More, you know, old friends in there. Bibbs is in there. And Moltile, and of course, Nabokov has joined us, Stufu, and others in the chat room. Speaking of the chat room, if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can find us on Twitter at In-Game Chat, as well as over on Facebook. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. We're streaming the cam feed right now through Twitch, and you can find us there and join the chat room live while we broadcast and interact with, I think all of us in here has a way to chat in the room with you guys, so stop on in there, talk to us, we'll reply, we'll talk to you on the air as well. So, there you go. Anyway, welcome to the show, the first of 2014 and the first of Season 8. And the first game that I finished for 2014 would be Assassin's Creed 4. I wrapped that up, and I also finished up Gone Home today, jumping in there. But anyway, let's start with Jeremy. Welcome back. What have you been playing? What have you been doing? It's been a while, a couple weeks now since we've talked to you.
Really, mostly I've been playing stuff on my tablet.
Like what?
Oh, man. I played Anodyne, which is a Zelda-like game.
I want to say we have some music from that.
Really?
That we play in some of the bumpers, yeah.
I haven't gotten terribly far into it, but I've enjoyed it so far. I've been playing a Spell Tower, and so far my best word is voxel. I've got just tons and tons of Android games I've gotten from Humble Bundles over like the past couple of years.
Is this just a time thing that you're playing these? Is it just a convenience thing, or is it just?
Yeah, it's a convenience. I want to play something, and I don't even know what three quarters of these are. So I've just been going down the list when I have a minute and I'm bored. I'm like, I'm going to just try the next thing in this list. I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
And several of them have been really.
That can be a fun way to play games. I don't know if you want to do that with your Steam library because there's. I was looking over my entire library just the other night. I was going through, like, I played Assassin's Creed 4. I put in ever how many hours, and I should have looked at that before we started the show, but I don't know, 40-some-odd hours of Assassin's Creed 4, tons of time, and I'm like, okay, let me find a game I can do in, like, 3 hours. Let me just something that I can do, a sit-down and be done, start it and finish it, and just a sit-down. So I've installed Gone Home, and I played and finished that. I got Kentucky Route Zero on there, and a couple of smaller games that I can go through, but the games that I've been, you know, wanting to hit up and play and haven't gotten around it. Thomas Was Alone.
Yeah.
Is another
one.
You
got around to playing that?
Not yet.
Oh, not yet.
It's installed. You know, it's on the list of just some little things to hit, you know?
Right.
Before I jump into my next big one, which I haven't yet figured out what that's going to be, because you guys were talking about Dishonored before the show, and I thought, why don't I do that? Because I was thinking about Witcher 2. To try and get through that before March.
Yeah. I still got to finish Witcher 1.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait a minute, March?
Yeah.
Is March the window for 3?
Really?
No. March is the window for
Infamous.
Oh, no,
you're talking about... Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, so you're jumping ahead to...
Yeah, March is the window for Infamous, and
you're
just thinking...
You're stressing me out there for...
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I was like, I got to go.
You can.
I got work to get done. I'm only in Chapter 2 of The Witcher 1, and...
Got to go get some more Witchering done.
I have to witch...
As far as we know, Witcher is this year. We just don't know when this year, so...
Jesus, thank God.
But yeah, just been thinking about what to do. And you said you got Dishonored or somebody gifted it to you?
Yeah. I haven't played it yet.
Okay.
I'm going to. But yeah, it's there in my Steam library waiting for me to get back.
It's not a bad playthrough. It's, I don't know, 12, 15 hours?
Yeah, somewhere
I guess.
Around there.
See, it's a little bit troublesome because...
I guess it depends on how you play, too.
Yeah, it's a nooks and crannies game.
Yeah.
You know? It's a... but what's behind that door? And what do I got to do to get up over there? And I really don't want these guys to see me because, like, stealth is more fun. And now that fight didn't go so well. I'm going to reload it and try it again.
That's something I could end up sinking a lot of time into. It just depends on what I'm bringing with me.
That's exactly how I played it. I think I put in probably 15 to 18 hours.
Okay.
That's not including the DLC.
Yeah, where I was as well.
So, but it's not horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, you were asking me, like, what other stuff I was playing on there. There's one in particular that you may have to get, Time Surfer.
Hmm.
It's just a game where you got a dude on like a surfboard, and like you press a thing, make him go down, and you ride these hills that like shoot you up faster. You're trying to outrun the end of the universe. The reason you're going to want it is because you can turn your dude into a DeLorean.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll pick that up.
Nope. Sold.
You can also use a blue box.
Ah, nice.
Oh.
Yeah.
Which is probably the reason you picked it up.
I was just in the Humble Bundle.
Oh, okay.
Can you turn him into a Jameson bottle or something?
You drink enough, he'll be anything you want.
You can outrun the end of the universe.
He'll look like anything you decide. I'll be like, yeah, he's a Jameson bottle.
Also, Star Command is fantastic.
I have heard.
Highly, highly recommend. Of everything I've played so far on my list, Star Command was really
I don't
really
think
good
you were here for it, but I had played it a couple of weeks ago, and I don't think James was here for it either, but it was an iPad game, and it's called The Room.
Yes, I've played The Room, and that is... We talk about this.
Right up my alley. It's a puzzle game, and it's just a fascinating, just wonderfully atmospheric, well done puzzle type game.
Oh, and, yeah, I love The Room.
Loved it.
It is on Android right now. I think The Room 2 is coming out soon.
Room 2 is out on your
on iOS.
Your iDevices, yeah. I don't think it's on Android devices just yet.
What does The Room do?
The Room...
Is it art game? I mean, you say puzzle game, but is it like...
I mean, it's beautiful, but it's...
You know that's not what I mean.
Yeah, I know. No, it doesn't feel like that, no.
Okay.
It doesn't feel that way to me. I mean, do you agree, or what do you...
It starts with you trying to open up a safe, but not like conventional dives.
Pretty much,
it
puts you in a room with an object, and it just leaves it up to you to figure out how to find out how that object works and how that object you can...
Tinker with various switches and pulleys and such on it.
And eventually you figure out that, wait a second, this that I pulled over here relates to this other side of the object that I have to input these numbers and this, and you open up and, you know, you just go deeper and deeper and deeper within.
Mm-hmm. Those things never turn out too well for me. It always turns out like the guys from Three Men in a Boat trying to open the tin of pineapples. Hey, somebody out there is going to get that reference. And like where you try 100 different ways to try to get into the tin of pineapples because you didn't bring a can opener.
Uh-huh.
And eventually you just wind up picking it up and chucking it into the river. Stuff like that always ends up poorly for me.
I never played it and thought, I got to tell James about this. It never crossed my mind.
In those kind of games, the exit button is always your solution.
Like when I played that, I'm thinking, I got to tell Spigot about this. You know, if that gives you an idea, maybe. So that's that would...
Yeah, here we go. Nabokov says, it's a logic-based deductive treasure box simulator.
He comes up with some good descriptions. That's a very good one. Logic-based deductive treasure box simulator.
Like a Jameson bottle.
Perhaps.
Like the second one.
Yeah.
And pretty much everything becomes a logic-based deduction fumble drop stuff puzzle.
How does this thing work after a few... Dennis, what have you been doing? What have you been playing?
Let's see. I just finished up Season 2, Episode 1 of Walking Dead.
Which means you finished up your replay of Season 1, obviously.
Yes.
You played 400 Days. Was this your first time?
That was my first time through 400 Days.
Yeah.
The ending, I only got the one girl, Bonnie.
To go with you?
To go with Tavia, yeah.
Mm.
Which I was all right with.
It's fine.
Well, I mean, you don't know... What effect it has on if like who stays with that camp?
I mean, look, I played it the first time, and I replayed that one a lot just because it was so quick that I could go through, and I was like, let me see what happens if I do this and this and this and this. So that was a fast one to play through, and the first playthrough that I did of it is going to be the one that I carry over into, and that was everybody except for one person. I can't at the moment remember who that was.
Probably Vince, more than likely, because I went and looked up like exactly what triggers each one.
Which one is Vince? Is he the convict?
He's the convict,
okay.
Because three of them can be affected by what Tavia says to them. Vince, I think, is solely based on what choice you make in his scenario.
Mm-hmm.
And Bonnie always goes with her no matter what.
Right.
So I got like...
You got the default.
I got the default. I got like the one person who will always go with
me. Yeah, I got everybody but one, and probably Vince is right. But I went through to see, because I did. I discovered those things too. Was like, this guy is always going to go, depending on this decision right here in the game, whatever I make, mm-hmm. he goes or stays. The little brother, I think, the little kid.
Russell, I think.
Russell. He was the wild card for me. I couldn't tell what it was that made him go or stay. That I could remember.
I think it's specifically mentioning, if you mentioned...
That he might have family there.
Right. Like, that's what will get him to go along.
But anyway, so you got through 400 Days. And,
got 400 Days, got into Walking Dead Season 2.
You know, we talked about a little bit about Episode 1 last week, and you were here with us during that conversation. Did any of that stuff stick with you? Did it?
Oh, yeah, that's one way of putting it, because we talked about what behind, you know, spoiler, you know, the entire thing with the animal.
Right.
As far as my choices, it was kind of interesting. I kind of expected what happened at the beginning to happen to the characters who come with you from season one, along with Clementine. That did not surprise me overly.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not surprising, though. It's an excellent example of how Telltale is very good at leaving things hanging in the middle of the air.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, what's her name? Girl with the girl?
Krista?
Yeah, whatever. Like, I don't know. You like, because she's there and the beginning is what it is, right?
I'm glad you're here, Dennis, because only you.
There's her and the other guy and then the events and have you. And then you go forward and it's like this much time. And, you know, you look at her, and I'm trying to avoid spoilers, obviously.
Yeah.
You look at her and you're like,
yeah, there's
and it's
a lot
like,
said.
And
just
it's just
scene.
Left hanging in the air. They absolutely know how to do that. They don't do it, I don't think, often enough, but every now and then they're able to put a certain turn on the scene and just leave you with a lot of really silent drama. And I like it, and it's a subtle thing. And you wonder always, are you going to come back to this? Are we going to revisit this particular piece of badness, or is this just one in 100 things I'm expecting, or that I expect to experience in this game, that are going to leave me feeling pretty rotten inside? You know, like, you know, directly having to, like, you know, like kill an animal or something like that. That's unpleasant. But like this other stuff is much more what you would expect from the world that they're in. So they do it. They do a really fine job of that very particular sort of thing. But do you agree with me then? Do you see what I think the problem is going to be? If you think about how the entire episode plays, Clementine, while slightly older, isn't old enough to really be moving through a world like this on her own. She will always need help, and she specifically talks about that. She tells some of the people she meets, you know, I tried to pick good people and stay with them, and I got lucky, and that's all there is to it. I don't know how to build 4 more episodes of her sneaking around and getting lucky. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I want to do that. Even near the end of the first season of The Walking Dead, like, Lee gets to go, you know, berserk mode. He gets to do, like, Wolverine a little bit, you know, and, like, take a couple of cleavers or something and just start pounding his way through groups of zombies.
Which that is a great sequence.
No, it's excellent, and it's a different kind of landscape of gameplay. Mm-hmm. That you got to see in season one. You get to be a protector of someone else. You get to worry about your own person. You get to have sneaky times. You get to have puzzle-solving times. You get to do everything because he is as empowered as an adult would be. Clem is still a little girl. Older, but still very, very young. And I don't know, given the way that these games are made, given the basic construction of the game world, I don't know that she's got what it takes as a character to be the player character for 4 more episodes.
Well, you certainly can't have many fights, because look at the ones that are in there.
Unless you give her a gun and notice she didn't fire a gun in that episode.
Yeah, I know.
Because she's a little girl. Mm-hmm. We don't want kids firing guns. That's my guess. I don't know that
what
they're going to do.
She shoots one off in
in the first season because it wasn't you doing
it. That's true.
These little subtle differences, they make a difference in the minds of other people. And I would not be surprised if they don't have her doing that, if they don't necessarily want the player doing that. I also could be wrong, because I don't know how you're supposed to go through 5
I'll say we have 4 more episodes.
Without shooting a gun.
But I mean, it's like every close-up, like, melee situation is... It's a struggle. It's not a conflict. It is literally getting out of it by the skin of your teeth.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I feel a little bit odd about where they're going
to
go with it.
Sticking with the Telltale talk, we'll jump over to RJ, who wrapped up Wolf Among Us,
right
on PS3.
Yes, PS3.
Yeah. How you're familiar with the fables that it's based off of? Is that correct?
James told me about that one, and I picked up a graphic novel and read through it, and I found the game and started playing through chapter 1. Had a pretty good time with it. I've always liked the mystery novel aspect of the whole game, so I've had a good time with it.
Yeah, I mean, the choice I'm going to ask you is, after you're talking with Ichabod and you get the call from Toad, and you have the choice of either checking out whatever Toad wanted or going to check on the guy that you think probably is the killer.
Prince Lawrence.
Prince Lawrence, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Which did you choose?
I chose Toad.
Have you gone back through and replayed it to do the other
decision? I've gone through it, but I plan to keep my first original save.
I understand. No, that's fine. I'm in the same boat of that, but mm-hmm. That seemed like such a big difference.
Yeah.
Considering, you know, mm-hmm. what is going to come depending on which way you went as far as the next couple of episodes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, two completely different
very different
things. Previews of the next episode, mm-hmm. Very much so. But I went and saw Toad first, and I saw the repercussions of that when I
right.
saw the intros
right.
after on.
So, anything else did you play?
I finished off Grand Theft Auto V. Finally finished the story mode on that one.
Yeah.
One thing I noticed is that all the other Grand Theft Autos I've played, I've always had that big climactic finish
uh-huh.
to the end of the story. And I found in this one kind of lackluster in uh-huh. comparison. I mean, kill one guy with each protagonist, and then take out 8 mercs and find a guy in a box. That's pretty much the end. That's pretty much all you have to go through.
I can tell you, going through the other two choices for the ending of that, mm-hmm. Were much better than that third choice.
Mm-hmm.
The weight of having to kill one of those other characters
mm-hmm.
was infinitely better than the other. You know, the hey,
Death Wish,
which is basically, you know, let's all get through. Let's all get our happy ending type situation.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could say, mm-hmm. if that's the case. But you know, coming up in the second hour, we got an email about our disappointments of 2013. And
mm-hmm.
I think GTA 5 is going to pop up on a few people's lists
mm-hmm.
In the room, perhaps. But we'll get to that in a minute. Matt, you're next. What's up? What you been doing?
Playing Assassin's Creed 4.
Okay.
Been just trucking along on that one, doing a lot of the side missions. The assassin's contracts and finding the treasures and animus fragments. So that's
where are you at chapter wise?
I'm not sure exactly which chapter. Like, I know where in the game I am.
Mm-hmm.
I just saved the queen.
Have you got the diving bell?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You're
got the diving bell.
So you're past chapter 6 at least.
Okay.
So.
So yeah, around there.
Gotcha. And James, what have you been playing?
I don't know. Bunch of games.
I know you've been playing Assassin's Creed 4 because we've talked about
it. Yeah, a little bit. I've been playing it a little bit.
Yeah.
Because it's stupid and I need to finish it because it's dumb.
Because you bought it.
And I hate it. I like it fine.
Yeah. Is that the only thing
I like it fine? No, I play whatever. Whatever I feel like playing.
Anything you want to talk about? Whatever you feel like playing?
Let's see. He's been playing some
BioShock
Infinite, some Final Fantasy VII.
Why is Burial at Sea not good?
Really, that bad?
Does this belong in the disappointments of 2013 discussion?
I mean, I suppose, right? Like, it's certainly, I don't know. It's not very good. It's not bad. It's not actively some kind of bad thing. It is very much the disappointing nature of the gameplay of Infinite.
Mm.
Poisoning the much better environment of Rapture, I suppose. I found it completely... I like a little bit of the mystery that they're indicating. I like some of the design elements, and I think jumping back into some part of the spooky story that never really made a whole lot of sense between the two characters anyway, I think that's perfectly great. That's fine. It's just not, man, it's not there. And I was okay with Infinite. I would like to be very clear that I was actually okay with Infinite. And I thought that it was a bit like a really nice magic trick, and I thought that it was something that was an awful lot of fun to play through and experience and be a part of, but I didn't. I don't know. I needed the magic to be there because the gameplay most certainly wasn't there.
It definitely didn't catch my attention and hold my interest as Infinite did.
Yeah,
you know, because I started playing through it, and then I just sort of just put it down and haven't really gone back to it yet.
Well, does this have anything to do with it being a part one? Because this is a 2-part DLC, right?
No, man. No,
okay, it is. Just
it sucks
terrible.
All on its own. It doesn't need. the absence of part two and anything to not be any good. Like, it, man, it's just not there. It's just not clicking. Nobody's actually performing a magic trick, and that's what was happening in Infinite. Yes, the gameplay was really terrible. Worse than the gameplay was the compromised environment design. And I know we talked about this half a year ago, but if you go back and look at what was originally intended to be the gameplay of BioShock Infinite, and I don't mean like drawing board stuff, but I mean like legit, we're showing you gameplay. It was a much more varied, much more complex experience. And that just, it all got trashed, right? And that's fine, because we don't want to scare people or make them try hard. We just want to, I don't know, we want to blow V8, we want to talk about philosophical precepts and jam them into our game to the point where it displaces all the actual gameplay. That's perfectly fine. And everybody's ranted about it, and that's okay. But the game itself was a thing. It had a feeling and a really distinct flavor. And it was, I could be in it and be a part of it for the duration, because I thought, like, I could just ride this tide of whatever this emotion is, you know? But the, I don't know, Burial at Sea's not doing it. It's just not there. It's, I can't even put my finger on what's missing. Good stuff, apparently, is what's missing. I don't know. It's nice to be back in Rapture, but really, like, for the, it's like two distinct halves, even in part one. There is a half that is nothing but hand-holding exposition, and I mean that literally. You don't even have a weapon. And for the second half of it, all of that is gone, and now it's nothing but weapon, essentially. And it's, I don't know. Like, it's, like, is this a comment on BioShock Infinite? Is this you talking about why your game sucked? I don't know. I can't tell, but it's not good. And how dare it not be good? It's your job. BioShock, be kind of good in some way.
They made the promotions for it look good, and I don't mean the trailers. I just mean the promotional art and everything else.
Yeah, okay, fine. Like, no, yeah, I'm just smoking saying. A cigarette, and she's got the soft light.
It's
like
got
a noir
film, type feel.
And they're
to
like,
it.
You know, her breastises look nice and everything, I guess, or whatever. I don't know.
That wasn't my point. I'm just, I like noir, and I thought, I, you know, that looks like.
I only
fun.
Point that out because I think 90% of what made BioShock Infinite good was Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying. As a sex object or as a protection object, although she lived strangely right in between the two, you know, object of desire for the player, object of protection for the player character, whatever. They put so much effort into her, physical design, into the render of her character. Her character itself, I am certain, had much more detail in it than any other non-player or any other character in the game. She was designed as like a beacon to always kind of draw your attention. She was designed to look good and sound good and dance cute and be a thing, you know? And I could see that they were trying that, you know, again, in this different type of design. And what, I don't know, it ain't working. And it made me mad. Not because like it actively did something to infuriate me. I got bored with it, and that really made me mad. It's like 2 hours long. How could I possibly get bored with that? But it did.
Well, it is very rare that we get phone calls on the show, but we actually do have a call, and we're going to take it now. This is Mike. Mike, welcome to the show. Where are you calling us from, Mike?
The swinging city of Prattville, or known as Pratt Vegas.
Pratt Vegas.
Yeah, well, a few of us, James and myself, from Prattville as well. What's your? Thanks for calling, number one. What's your question?
Well, thank you for thanking me. My question is, you know, I've always enjoyed the 98 version Microsoft Flight Simulator, and of course I have the latest version of it also, but it's, you know, getting kind of musty around the edges. It's due for an update, and I haven't heard anything from about Microsoft having any plans to updating it, especially with the opportunity to use all this satellite imagery and stuff to really freshen it up and make it more realistic. You gentlemen heard anything on that?
I think the last thing that Microsoft did for the flight simulator was the Microsoft Flight, and it's just of Hawaii.
No.
And Alaska. Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, well, you can't say just Hawaii and, well, Alaska.
But, I mean, it's not
the
world.
No, it wasn't the world. It was a free-to-play, freely downloadable, free-to-play Microsoft flying game with I think the simulation aspects were a little limited, but more importantly, it was just a few limited environments. Or initially Hawaii, then Alaska, and you had to purchase with real money. You had to buy the planes and the locations. And it was heartbreaking. The news of that game and what it would be, and the fact that Microsoft, at least as of a couple years back,
said they
were
plans.
Out of the game.
Yeah, they have no plans.
They said they had no interest in it. And it was, to hear you say that, to hear you come on the line and mention Flight Simulator, really, it is heartbreaking, because not only is it, as a genre, as a type of game and a genre, it's almost not represented at all.
Mm-hmm.
You find the occasional combat sim.
Yeah, DCS is doing
DCS
a lot of
stuff. DCS is doing them.
A10.
There's still a Sturmovik will pop up every now and then. But the nature of the gameplay from a civilian flight simulator, mm-hmm. it was reaching the point of perfection. And you mention exactly what we could have used. All of the satellite imagery, all of the freely sourced, highly detailed models,
mm-hmm.
All of the enhancements to network communication and stuff that we have now.
Especially multi... Yeah.
Right. And, you know, the Oculus Rift would have been a perfect addition to simulation.
Tablet integration.
Tablet at second screen.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much easier to do multiple screens on a single PC, which was actually very hard, even as of the time the most recent flight sim came out. Yeah, it's our understanding, and we're all pretty salty about this.
Because we loved flight sims.
And they have not said anything that I'm aware of in years that they're at all interested in publishing again.
Yeah. I know my time when I was living in England, the British are really big about their simulators there, too. They have, like, tons of magazines where you can get discs with, like, free satellite images, free aircraft, all that kind of stuff for the older flight sims of Microsoft. So, I mean, there's still stuff out there. It's just nothing new, which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And, you know, you can spend a lot of time on that. It's kind of engrossing, but and I've also enjoyed those combat simulators and even the other let me see, I can't think of the name of them right now, but that F-22 fighter combat simulator.
Was that a James?
Pretty good,
Matt.
I believe that James did. Yeah, they did.
Nova Logic, I think.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Nova Logic.
Yes.
I know James had one also, as well, just also like the Joint Strike Fighter, and they had the USAF. Remember that one back
yes,
in the day?
Yes, I do. Survey Sim.
There's Mike, a few people in the chat room suggested War Thunder, which is a free one. Again, these are combat flight sims, so it's unfortunately you're just civilian flight sim. Stick with the old ones that you know. It may look bad, but it's the best you're going to get from that for that situation. And then another one is Wings of Prey.
That's a World War II one.
And that's a World War II one. So
I will say, for what it's worth, a friend of ours that used to play Flight Sims with us a lot, a friend of ours named Kevin, spent an enormous amount of time in the Microsoft Flight.
Yeah.
Partly because it legitimately was a really fun and good experience, as long as you were happy in one of the few environments provided. But it gave him enough. You know, it slaked his thirst enough. It is not... You know, it's not as comprehensive as doing like a full transcontinental flight or something in real time, an airliner or something like that in real time. But and it's certainly not as modular. I mean, that was one of the really good things about that previously. And obviously, combat flight sims are going to be represented to some degree or other, because it's combat and it's fun and you can build a game around that. But sometimes the don't want to kill anybody, don't want to drop any bombs, I just want to fly.
Just want to fly.
I just want to get up there, and I want to fly, and I want to have my simulation moment, and try to do something difficult as well as I can. I miss it. I'm right there with you. I miss it a lot.
Take off and land in, you know, D.C., just something fun like that.
Those carrier landings got pretty difficult and pretty interesting. I don't know if you've ever tried those.
Nope.
I never tried those.
I never tried
those after trying to do it in Top Gun on the NES. I was like, I am not landing on a carrier. Refueling in the air, not doing that either. I could never get past whatever level that was.
Well, gentlemen, thank you for your input. I sure appreciate it.
No, we appreciate
you
the
call.
Mike. Thank you so much for the call, Mike. Didn't even get out the number, but here, 334-272-9228 if you want the number. We're going to take a break. When we come back, more of In-Game Chat in just a moment. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Listener Mike called into the show about flight sims, and we gave him our best answer before even doing any kind of looking up or research, and we did that during the break and found out that Microsoft has discontinued
all kinds of support.
Yeah, they discontinued a free-to-play game, and you can't buy the things because of all the space they take up on shelves, apparently. Let's not sell the digital items that don't take up anything. Let's stop. Oh, for God's sake.
It's making him angry. It's making him very angry. As well it should, man. You and I, we used to have conversations about, you know, doing the flights over the weekend and stuff like that. I'm going to do a flight from here to here this week. I'm going to.
Oh, remember when we really, really got into it? There was this guy, really long time ago, it was this guy on. Was it the Ars forums?
It's one of the forums.
It was the Ars gaming forums, right? And he posted something, and it was a trick. He was very clever. It was a trick. He looked like he had posted in the wrong forum, and he said like, "I just like had to do this. Like I just delivered." Man, how did he post it? He basically like did an emergency delivery of an organ for a transplant, and it was like. This is about games. I don't know where you are. And so you clicked on the thread, and it was this kind of pictographic essay of Flight Sim where he created
a scenario.
And built a flight to fit that scenario. And this is just what he did. Right? It was like a cat playing with yarn or something. Like the guy just made his own toys, his own story. He's like, I have this thing, and I build my RPG moments around this thing. And he had just all of these scenarios that he would do, and it was just all this pictographic stuff of like prep, takeoff, landing, the times that he had given himself to do it, and all this stuff. He played on like full simulation, and it's like. On paper, kind of the driest experience in the world, right? No exposition, no actual heart, got to be from point A to point B or anything like that. But it was wonderful. It was, and like everybody in that, everyone who read that thread instantly went out and bought Flight Sim, whichever version it was. And I was like, man, I gotta have some of this. I gotta be a part of this. I don't know how to fly. I'm terrible at it, but it was really, really fantastic, and it was really good. And that thing, right, if there's a way to identify whatever that is, that non-conflict-oriented, you know, just really, really fun experience of engaging the game with your skills, like trying to do something really, really good and trying to do something detail-oriented and difficult and trying to do it perfectly. I don't know. I miss it. It was actually really, really nice to just sit and chill with your flight sim for a while. It's... terribly, terribly bad. And, you know, I don't think flight was horrible overall. There's a lot to be said for flying around, you know, in a seaplane around Hawaii.
They've stopped supporting it, I guess, is what they've stopped doing. But I mean,
right. It can't be.
Is it still available? Can you still?
I think if you own it, you can still play it.
Oh, wow.
I think maybe. I don't know how that works. I don't know if they've turned the servers off, but apparently nothing is available for sale anymore. Mm. So. For all intents and purposes, it's gone.
Yeah, which is interesting. It kind of leads into the other thing that happened this week was the Marvel Activision titles being pulled from Steam, Fallout being pulled. Fallout's a different story.
That's a little bit different. There was nothing. There was no ill will there.
No.
It's changed. This is the property changing hands.
Yeah, going from Interplay to Bethesda.
That's all it was.
The old contracts are not valid anymore.
Right. So it necessarily
has the rights to sell it.
Exactly. It must fall off of the store. They must renegotiate rights and put it back up. It's all okay. I mean, it's still, you know, legal foibles, right? So it sort of sucks, but
but it's coming back.
It'll be back.
Yeah. Whereas that's not the case with what the Marvel Activision stuff is.
We don't know. Nobody's saying for sure exactly one way or another. It's just it's delisted. That's why it was on sale during the holiday sale. While we had Deadpool and all that on sale.
See, that's the weirdest thing, man.
And that's it. That's all they're saying.
Deadpool came out like this year.
Yeah, May of this year.
I know. And so it's very hard to believe that that's a license issue as far as it really, you bought a license to last for, you know, 10 months.
Yeah. I mean, it's what is it? Is Disney opening up their own digital storefront or something, or
Oh, man.
No.
I had that thought earlier today, and it's kind of like, ooh.
Not quite video games, but Dead Horse, who's been doing Star Wars comics forever, lost the rights, and now Disney's going to make a...
Did you see him say Dark Horse?
Dark Horse, who's been doing the Star Wars comics for forever, lost the rights, and so Disney's going to Marvel with those now. And stop laughing at me.
We'll start up a little indie company called Dead Horse Comics. Well,
Disney isn't going to Marvel. Well, Marvel is Disney.
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, yeah. They're having their in-house do it.
I mean, I wonder if they knew this was... If actors knew it was running out, why 6 months before release the game?
I read a snippet somewhere. It was backed up by no fact whatsoever, and I didn't have time to fact check it. My understanding was, though, that the distribution rights or whatever caused this exact problem, the timer started running at the moment they acquired them for development. Not necessarily. So regardless of whenever it came out, the clock had already been running.
Okay.
So even if it had only come out in November,
yeah,
it doesn't matter. The clock would have run out when the clock ran out.
Interesting.
Not at the point it reaches market.
I'm looking at Ghost Bear in the chat room, exactly.
All right, okay, we're all on the same page then about the dead horse. And we will continue to beat it.
Dead horse.
Anyway, goodness. You and I had, you mentioned Oculus Rift support for the Flight Sim.
We played around with that a little bit.
Yes, we did.
Oh, man, I got barfy. Boy, howdy, did I... have some trouble with that.
Did you did you have some Jameson before you tried it out?
No, I did not. Yes, I did. Sorry. I'd forgotten. I had a little bit. That's not the problem, though. And it's not the movement stuff that's the problem. Everything had... It's something that makes me barfy no matter where it occurs. I felt like I was looking through a paper towel tube. The FOV was terrible. And because the entire experience is motion-based, then that pitch, that distance from like what you perceive to be the pivot point to where your point of focus is not good. It was not good. It's a low resolution device, which is unfortunate, but that's why we're looking forward so much to the consumer version.
Right.
And a lot of the stuff developed for it doesn't have what I consider to be an appropriate FOV. I didn't like it.
What game did you try it on?
It was just the demos.
Bunch of demo stuff. I mean, there was no...
designed to, like, show off.
We didn't do any, like, main title type games that you might think. We didn't do TF2.
No.
We tried to do one of those Reckless Disregard for Gravity ones.
Yeah, we tried to do that, and it wasn't working quite right.
It
kept resetting your center.
Yeah.
Strangely. And also jumping from one type of demonstration to another, the experiences are a little bit mixed. You know, your mind doesn't necessarily know how to handle each of those other things. But again, for me, it was field of view, point of view type of stuff. That's what really did it.
Moltel in the chat room asked a question. Do you not feel ill with bad FOV on a monitor?
I feel horrible. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I feel horrible with a bad FOV on a monitor.
FOV is very essential.
Fix the FOV and the resolution, how would you think something like this would work with, like, Mirror's Edge?
I don't understand why you would ever want to play Mirror's Edge with something like this. I really don't. I don't necessarily see how it could be enhanced at all. I know we're just in the mood of talking about it, but something like a flight sim where my body, where the player character body, your position is relatively fixed, and the headset gives you the ability to look around within that environment. That's really, really good. But trying to displace the normal first person shooter position, you know, the head position, the field of view. I don't want to do that. I don't understand. I don't see any way that could be made better. So I absolutely would not want to play it with. Yeah, on something like that.
Most of the stuff that we tried out were environmental look around type situations, and one I think was like a coaster sim type situation, and those are the ones that we tried out. Which one was it that got to you?
Coaster had a couple things in it that were weird.
Yeah,
but it was mostly this is exactly the thing. You would be forced into a different position, but your head wouldn't track kind of correctly with it, so it would kind of induce a bunch of weird feelings. But it was just kind of cumulative, you know, over time. I mean, I can see the promise. I can definitely see the promise, but, man, It needs the right kind of software, and it needs to be a much nicer looking display, I think.
And it will get the display. We're just not sure about the software part of things yet. You know, that's going to... It holds a lot of promise. Not quite there yet. Holds a lot of promise. It is fun to show off to people who've never, you know, experienced this. Like, oh, look what this thing does. You know, Mike, I had our buddy Mike come over the next day, and he was just enamored with it.
Yeah.
Loved it and was just excited for it and could not get over how it felt like he was in that environment type situation.
Hmm.
To do all that sort of stuff, and then gave it to his wife, and she could not handle, hardly the slide, that one demo that has nothing moving in it. You just move around or just look around. She couldn't do it. Yeah. So, you know, it's a device that obviously isn't going to be for everybody. So, on to other things new that we've tried out. You got a Vita last week on the show.
Yeah, I got a Vita.
Synced it up to your PS4. You've done
I played some Assassin's Creed through it. I was surprised at how well it worked.
Yeah.
It controls, surprisingly well.
It would not be my preferred method for interacting with a game like that, largely because I'm not 100% behind the fact that you're using the touchpad on the back for the two extra shoulder buttons. Hmm. That's a little bit weird.
Resogun, I tried that one on it as well.
Oh, well, yeah.
Works
okay.
Better.
Yeah, I would imagine that something like that would. But just the quality of the remote play experience was better somehow than what I had imagined it would be. It seemed pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to be something I do an awful lot of, you know. It's better than moving the PlayStation into my computer room, but having it there and like being able to interact with it completely, not just starting up a game and at that point being able to stream the game, but literally being able to interact with the system as a whole.
Now, I don't think that you could quite do this, but I think it would be great, like, for Assassin's Creed, you know, like, on tablets, how you could do it with the maps and stuff like that. If you could pull up that also on your Vita and, like, have more integration with stuff like that.
I think some games will probably... I think some
basically kind of have it like a Wii U tablet, almost.
Yeah, where you're still looking at your, you know, but you could pull up information.
I think some games may implement that in the future. I mean, this is launch, and
true.
And none of these launch... I don't know how Killzone... Doesn't Killzone...
I don't know. I don't know.
I can't remember, but
I've still got it out, so yeah. I could probably try that, but I don't know what it does.
That's another game on my list to get to in the little couple of months that we got here is to knock out Killzone.
In the brief window?
Yeah, the brief window that will go by faster than I think before March shows up and I have Infamous, which honestly, I have Infamous. That'll be play that and then what, you know? Then it's then it's another wait for whatever
however
else.
However long, yeah.
Exactly. So it's not even... Infamous is kind of just on that list to hit, and then it's let me get back to Witcher 2, or back to whatever.
What I think is that you're going to hit the end of the first calendar quarter, right? You're going to get Infamous, I think by that point, close to Titanfall, around that point in time. There's a couple other things out there. It's more than just Infamous in the next 3 months, but I think what we're going to see is a lot of the TBAs, a lot of the things that don't currently have a date. You're going to start getting dates.
Yeah.
You're going to find a few more things that are going to come in before the first half of the year, and then really see a lot of stuff start falling into the last half of the year. At the moment, it just looks like a couple of things. But I think that once we get there, you're going to find that there's probably a little more to do than what you're expecting, which is all the more reason to spend the next 2 months that are essentially dry. I know we don't like to talk about it all the time, but like dealing with that backlog, identifying a few things, and getting them put to bed.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, Nab asks you about KR0?
Yes, it is a video game. I own it. I have it in my Steam list. I understand that it is quite the thing. And,
it's very pretty sitting there on that list.
And I have a significant amount of guilt for not having played it yet.
I took the first step and installed it. So now it's there. Now I got
progress.
Yeah, I know. Got to make that progress, and I think I will. I put a number of really smaller titles on the install list and have them there to click on and say, you know what, I can sit down and put a couple hours in this, and I don't have to worry about the fact that, all right, I'm embarking on a very long journey that's going to take me, you know, a good while to get through, such as Assassin's Creed did, and such as any game that kind of has that. Gone Home almost had that because you want to talk about your nook and cranny game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have that obsessive compulsive thing where it's like You almost want to run against the wall just holding the space bar to see if lights turn on, if this door opens, if this drawer opens, if the, whatever. Just to go through it and check every single little thing. It got to the point, it wasn't very far in, but I said, okay, I'm going to stop picking up soda cans. There's obviously nothing on these. I'm going to stop picking up three-ring binders. There's nothing to do with these anymore. I'm going to pass over these. So,
I bet your face lit up when that secret door opened.
Oh, yeah, no, no, no. Well, took me forever to figure out that I had missed a room.
Ah, yeah.
Because I got done and I said, okay, what happens next? I walked around. I don't know. I don't know what this is. Or where am I going? And then I found a note somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it mentioned something, or I saw a room that's had a light off, because that's my rule. Is like if the lights off, turn the light off on. We've been in that room. We're done.
Mm-hmm.
So then I found a light that was not turned on. Went in there and I was like, then man, the whole house opened up.
Yep, you started opening up a lot more.
Oh
stuff.
My God! So. Anyway, that was my time with Gone Home. That's I don't know. It's we tried to describe that. It's a very interactive story. Is kind of what that is. Even less so, I suppose, than maybe Walking Dead would be considered an interactive story type situation.
Well, it's kind of like I said. Anybody who like decried Walking Dead for being categorized as a game is going to hate Gone Home.
Yeah,
I mean it is very much. Literally just going through a story, like going through a good book. You just happen to be in the role of one of the protagonists.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the status of protagonist or deuteragonist or what have you. Very.
Anyway, it tells us.
Yeah.
It just tells a story as you just experience the story as you find things that kind of unfold that story in front of you. That's it, really.
You get a nice little narration with very good voice acting, all things considered, for as small as this game is.
Mm-hmm. But it took about, I don't know, two and a half hours to go through. And I was very thorough, and for people who aren't thorough, it'll take you less than that. So
yeah, but you also miss out on a lot of the finer details of the... like some of the other stuff, story, like what's going on with like your character's parents and such.
Oh,
like
yeah, you know what? Some of that side stuff, yeah.
Yeah, because there's like I play through it and then like I just kind of like look up a wiki on it. And it's like, oh, I didn't see anything about this particular thing,
mm-hmm.
but kind of makes sense with like all the other stuff I found in here.
Yeah, so got that Kentucky Route Zero, a game called Trauma that I bought a long time ago. That looks all kind of puzzly. A very old adventure game from the Adventure Company called Still Life that I'm gonna look into as well.
Those are the guys who did Missing.
Those are the guys that did Missing. Those are the guys that did Siberia.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of those walk into a room, click on things, put two and two together type situations, and solve puzzles. Those are the type of games that I enjoy. So. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to take a break. We're going to kick off our second hour and talk about... we got an email from Daniel Phelps, who writes to us a lot. And he wrote and wondered what our disappointments of 2013 would be. He figures we're getting asked, what are your favorites of 2013? He'd like to know what the disappointments of that year are. And we would like to know what yours are as well. So hit us up on Twitter or Facebook. You can join us in the chat room and launch them out there as well. But we'll kind of go over those in the next hour. We will be right back with more in-game chat in just a moment. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. That is music from a game called Call of the Wild, being made by a guy named Anthony Case. It was on Kickstarter, got funded, and he is currently in the process of making that game. Again, Call of the Wild from Anthony Case. We got that sent to us from Nabokov fan. He asked us, you know, to get this played on the show and kind of mention it, give this guy some support. And you know what, Nab, you've been a longtime listener and supporter of the show. You ask, we'll do it for you, man. So thanks for sending that in. Really good music, actually. Anyway, welcome back to the second half of In-Game Chat. And we got an email in from Daniel Phelps, who writes to us a lot, saying he knows that we're going to be asked about our favorites from 2013, but he wants to know what our disappointments were this past year. And that could go beyond just games themselves and into the gaming industry as a whole. And he'd also like to know what we're most looking forward to in the known future coming up. So as far as the disappointments, I will throw out two that stick out for me. Grand Theft Auto V was a disappointment, but SimCity was a game I was really hopeful for. I was looking forward to it.
And Nabokov's been screaming for somebody to say that the whole show.
So. I know. Yeah. And again, I'm not doing him a favor just because of that. I'm just saying, that's a horrible game.
Yeah.
Had a horrible launch. And yeah.
I mean, I didn't even play it, but I was disappointed it turned out to be what it was because, you know, SimCity's a thing I like to get in on. So I was disappointed that it wasn't, you know, more SimCity and less whatever it was.
Broken?
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Broken, small, not good.
I can get over broken, man. Like, broken can be fixed. I mean, past a certain point, right, whatever, it's detrimental, but broken can be
and
broken
it was,
can
it
be
was
fixed.
Largely fixed. It was
right.
Just still not good.
No, the design was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It just wasn't a good game. It was a mighty small game with terrible simulation. And you need those things. I would put those things at or near the top of a list of things I wanted to include in a SimCity game. A city
and
simulation. Those two things, I think, are probably the key to success. Maybe next time. But I don't know. Yeah, the brokenness, the onlineiness, the DRM-iness.
Yeah.
I mean, it was all
actually
about,
is not that big a deal. It just isn't.
It wasn't about making a great game. It was about, we want to make money off SimCity.
Yeah. That's exactly it. And, it was just a stupid game. That's terrible. Because it's still a stupid game. Who took another look at it? Did like a second look? It was Kotaku. Hmm. Kotaku had a thing where, like,
right, they did.
When they initially reviewed it, they were like, not now. Right? Because effectively what they were saying was, we can't tell the difference between, this is just a mess. And trying to pick through the mess, we can't tell how much of it is broken by design and how much of it is broken because of a poor implementation.
Yeah.
And so they gave it a really, really long time to the point where you could basically say everything classified as dysfunctional or malfunctioning has been repaired. And what do you know? It's still a turd. So I do think that was interesting. I thought there was a very good conversation about, maybe you should have said this at the beginning. No. It's really, really good that they want to take a second look at something because, like it or not, this is just the state of affairs. Games are going to launch broken. If you still have any interest, it's worth taking another look at them later. But it absolutely cements it as a disappointment of 2013.
Yeah, quite large. Quite large disappointment. On a different level, BioShock Infinite. The disappointment from it really didn't settle in until I had more time to process with the game. And it basically, I liked what they did with the story. I enjoyed that sort of aspect of it. But it was the combat mechanics and everything else that we talked about on the show. Yeah. The environments weren't right for what they were doing.
I believe that the environments are the thing that absolutely
killed
them.
When I look at the end game of that, I'm fine with it. But if I have to take it as a whole and what it is and the trek to get through all of that to get to that point of enjoyment of what made it what it was and what made it the point of, like, I know you got to suffer through this, but getting to the end will hopefully make that worth it for you.
Yeah.
I felt like playing it, I wasn't playing BioShock Infinite. I was playing the story of BioShock Infinite with a FPS kind of like attached on there, kind of like stapled onto it. Like it felt like the FPS section was not at all felt good as part of the game.
I mean, it had its high points, and it had a great things that we can talk about what it did, the music,
yeah,
things like that. It had some great stuff, but the majority of what you do in that game was not fun.
And it didn't make sense.
Right.
It didn't make sense, by the way. I'm not entirely stupid, like, as a guy. The story did not make sense. I didn't just miss some key element that suddenly bound that narrative into a flawless arc. Like, it was crap. It was garbage. It was chopped up into a lot of pieces, thrown together however they could make it work with whatever assets they already had finalized. When they realized that their original encounter design and area design would probably hurt people's feelings. Now that completion percentages matter so much. Now that the idea of spending resources on a game that may not get really good reviews, mm-hmm, because it's too hard, right? Like, they took all the challenge out of it. They took all the complexity out of it, and then tried to stitch together whatever was left. And it was a bit of a mess. It was precious in a way. It really, really was. The part of me that feels emotions, like, still reacts a little bit when I hear the Barbershop Quartet arrangement of God Only Knows. Like, it's, mm-hmm, so perfectly a place and an idea and an emotion. And I know that this is different for different people in the world, but it evokes certain emotional responses because of the branding of its religious perspectives is a peculiarly American type of thing, and it was very, very American. And there are parts of it that game that are drawn from real moments and times and landscapes and history that are kind of back in the DNA of just about every American, and they tug at us in a certain way if pulled right. And I can't imagine that affects everybody else in this, you know, as much. So it was an emotional experience. It was definitely interesting. I didn't mind being there, but I look at it and I'm just like, God, what a mess. What a screw up, man. I don't know what your problem was. I don't know what happened. I don't know if the version that you could have released would have been better or worse. I can't say. But just sad. It was just sad. Yeah. You know?
Now, there's some games that would make the list that I'd rather us all pick in the ones that we've played and experienced, kind of that we were excited to be for, but they turned out disappointments for us. I mean, you can throw out some of the obvious titles, the XCOM revamp or whatever that was that they did. I don't know what that was, but the XCOM Bureau.
Well, I understand that wasn't as much disappointment now, but we talked about this back when that was all we got for XCOM. That was coming out for XCOM was this.
The thing that would become the Bureau, we were aware of long before the thing that would become
XCOM, Enemy Unknown.
Enemy Unknown. Mm-hmm. And if the disappointment was in their handling of the message. Yeah. We thought that the only way we were getting a rebooted XCOM was through some kind of third person, you know, cover shooter type thing. And it was like, no, hey, look.
Yeah, there's two reboots.
There's two reboots. Yeah. And all of a sudden, everybody was okay
with
the bad version because it's over there being bad and nobody cares.
From what I heard, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah, it wasn't good either.
Yeah. And the other
it's
one.
It's okay.
The other one, and I look at Matt on this. Go ahead. I'll let you. I don't even have to. Go ahead.
My two biggest, I'm sure anyone who's listened to me throughout this year knows, my two biggest disappointments this year is going to be Aliens Colonial Marines. Because it was terrible, terrible, terrible. And also the closure of LucasArts and the, you know, foregoing of 1313.
Right. Phelps did ask, Daniel did say that, you know, to go into the games industry type things, your big disappointments there. And, of course, it would be yours.
And, I know James has, we've talked about a little bit about, like, well, was LucasArts really done great? And, you know, I could only think of, like, their last great title came out for me was, what, 98 with Grim Fandango?
Good God,
as great. Like, absolutely great. They've had good games since then, no doubt, and games I've enjoyed, but like that pinnacle of what they were, you know, it's been a good one.
I don't think we have to lament the greatest thing a person has ever done when they're closed. They haven't done anything.
Yeah, and true. I mean, like Fracture, I didn't even try Fracture. I mean, there's a point in my life where if it was a LucasArts title, I owned it. You know, and like I was even going through like my old like my CDs folder that I had, and like the first several pages.
The last good thing they did came out on a CD, man. That, come on.
Something. But, I mean, so, like, Fracture I didn't own. You know, some of the, like, the Star Wars Kinect, I didn't even... I don't have a Kinect, so that's not even my thing. But I was really excited.
If you had a Kinect, that you'd have had that game, I'm sure. What about the... Well, you don't have a Kinect either. I was going to say the dance 13. The dance game that had Star Wars.
Well, that's part of the Star Wars Kinect.
I really like that game. I like what... I think it's super... No. I wouldn't play it because you know why.
You can't dance?
Yeah. But I think somebody... I think people who are incredible Star Wars fans sat around and helped make that game. Because everything they did, like all the doofy little dance moves and all the names they gave to the dance moves and the way that they kind of like... Yeah, I know, it's grotesque if you grew up and are of an age that we are. But Star Wars has been grotesque since 97. Honestly... Since they started re-releasing the original trilogy, absolutely
the
just
the last the THX before the special edition.
Yeah, I mean it's we're it's not good, yeah. Right? I'm not saying it's okay because it's gone on for so long, but this isn't a new thing. And in a way, if you kind of roll with this particular punch and look at it, it's all like very clever, very tongue-in-cheek, and it is absolutely the kinds of jokes we have all made. Outside of canonical Star Wars things or licensed Star Wars things. It was nothing but Star Wars jokes that, you know, were married to a stupid video game. But it was in its own way like very, very cutesy and clever in a neat, wry, kind of fun way. It was not just a poor treatment of the light. It really wasn't. But, you know, it doesn't really matter. Star Wars Kinect, and so there you go. It still doesn't count as something that should be missed at all.
No.
Under any circumstances, because the studio is gone. You're merely lamenting. You're sad because it's not 1998 anymore.
I've been that way for
several
years.
You haven't been a whole man since 1998.
To be fair, I don't think he was a whole man in 1998.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There aren't many of us that made it out of the late 90s unscathed.
True.
And it's not fair. It's not good. You should not. There's always a thread on Gaff, right? But there was a thread on Gaff recently talking about, all right, suddenly 1998 again. Like, how would Game of the Year be perceived by the people who are now here? And I saw, like, the major schisms where people like, without a doubt, Ocarina of Time, without a doubt. And I'm like,
Half-Life.
Are you kidding me? What are you on about, man? Like, I mean, clearly I know how old you were. Back then, I couldn't. Nah, forget about it. Like, it's got to be Half-Life or Tribes.
Yes.
You know, it has to be all these things. And point being, the thread blew up into a long discussion about the games of 98, and everybody just routinely forgets it wasn't a good year. It wasn't even a seminal year. It was the year. Too much came out. Too much new IP. Too many things that were the best they have ever been and were better than they ever would be again. You can't. I know your problems with LucasArts, and it's not the closure of LucasArts. It's not even the death of 1313. It's not that. It's that it's not 1998, and you haven't had another 1998, and you're not gonna. You're not gonna live that long.
No.
That's not like a jab at the fact you're going to Afghanistan. Sorry, that was more of like how long it's going to take before any kind of industry develops in that way again. You're never going to get the late 90s again. We are where we are now. The best thing that could happen to LucasArts was that they get shuttered. And forgotten.
We had a response.
It's hard to hear, you know, because, I'm a child of the past, I guess.
You're
just
a child. Get over it, man. It was like, it was, a person born in 1998 can, like, drive now. You need to get over it.
For those that can't see, on the webcam, Matt's face just fell when he said that. It was pretty good.
We had a response. I posted this question to our Facebook page, and Nathan responded saying, one game that disappointed me was Guild Wars 2. Was that this year?
No, but you can be disappointed in Guild Wars 2 whenever.
Sure, I'm sure.
Whenever you like.
I'm sure. He says, not that it was a bad game, but something just felt it was missing. I did not enjoy its attempt to not... quit being a normal MMO and not a full RPG. The other thing was, as much as gear grinds get annoying, I sort of missed it playing that game. I'm not saying it was a bad game again, just did not live up to what I was hoping for.
That's exactly how I would say it. It's an MMO without a doubt. Mm-hmm. And it's certainly wonderful to know that if I ever had an itch to go back to, I don't ever have to pay a subscription fee or anything like that again. And it is a very well-kept game and a beautiful game. But that's about it. You run around absolutely aching for something else if you've ever played an MMORPG before. And this is something, he's saying something that I've tried to make a point on before. You may not like a lot of what you do once you've identified it as a grind. Once you've, it's the idea that there's always that group of people who wants to come into an MMO and tell you, like, wake up, sheeple. It's all just a Skinner box. It's all a trap. It's all the blah, blah, blah. Man, I know. Why do you think I keep pressing the button? Because cheese comes out, man. I know what it is. And I like it. It is my escapism. I press the cheese button with my friends, and we get, like, better cheese. And we are aware of how it works. We are aware of the random number generator gods, mm-hmm. and how much they hate us or like us at any given point in time. We are aware that it is required to grind these things out, and it's been drawn out. But we also understand that it's about meeting that behavior pattern kind of heads up and acknowledging it. And if you ever don't like it, stop playing. But if you recognize that some fun can be had with it, then that's good. That stuff doesn't really exist in a game like Guild Wars 2. It is really only about the cosmetic side.
I know we're talking Guild Wars 2, and that did not come out in 2013. Another game that did not come out in 2013, but almost did, Star Wars The Old Republic. That came out in 12, right? December of 2012?
No, actually, 12? That came out in December of 2011.
Whoa.
Is that right?
I think so.
Wow.
Yeah. No, it came out in December 2011.
We're still disappointed about it.
Never mind then. Man, I thought that was 12.
Nope.
Wow.
Well, on the subject of things that didn't come out.
Might as well just
know. No, that's a fantastic thing to get started on, so you go right ahead.
Watch Dogs did not come out in 2013, and right. I was very disappointed about that.
I think there's a lot of people who were disappointed about that.
But, I got to tell you, though, we all like hype. We like whatever that is, and I'm not talking about blind hype. Again, much like the Skinner box, we meet a lot of these things, that are considered to be the evils in the industry. We all, and it's probably a function of our age and experience, we all meet them heads up. I understand it. Mm-hmm. Hey, is there hype here? Is it good hype? Yeah, good hype. I'll take some hype. And it's fun. It isn't about overstaying its welcome. It isn't about another open world game that looks like it's going to be about collection or whatever. There's fun to be had in that. I would prefer it be more Far Cry than Assassin's Creed, but we don't know. What I do know is that every time they showed video of that game, mm-hmm. it got worse. I don't know how that's possible. But the more they showed of that game, the worse it looked. And I don't usually get oversaturated, so I don't think that's what it was. I think it just looked like crap eventually. And I was very disappointed. I was looking for it. I wanted to hack stuff with my cell phone and mm-hmm. Shoot a guy or something and be in a city. And I don't care, you know. In the same way that I think Assassin's Creed 4 would be superior if it was just pirates and none of the Assassin's Creed trappings, I'm hardly alone in that. I feel like, in a respect, Watch Dogs looked like it was trying to be the modern era of Assassin's Creed that we always thought Desmond's story should have evolved into, mm-hmm. you know, but without any of the trappings, without any of the garbage, its own narrative. We also all knew, without a doubt, that initial reveal was lies, lies, lies. They are all lies. But the fact that they couldn't even lie around the amount of... I don't know. I don't know. Whatever their problem was.
Mm-hmm.
Still don't have a date for it. We are in the new year. It'll be disappointing, and I'm wondering if it's even possible for them to give. And you know what else I'm afraid of? I'm afraid it's going to turn out like BioShock Infinite.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that game was like, nope, done, sorry, we'll be
it
back.
Disappears for a while, comes back with a different face on it.
Yeah.
And that's what I was just about to say was I'm curious when they start the promotion machine up for that, what we get.
Yeah.
It'd be great if they just acknowledge it and say, remember this? You know, and just kind of acknowledge what happened or something like that. They won't.
No, they never will.
Yeah.
They never will. And even if they did acknowledge that something had changed or that something had happened, they aren't going to be honest about it. Yeah. And mm-hmm. I'm not going to say that that is wrong. what do you want them to do? Hey, turns out it was crap. And we spent 3.5 years developing crap, and it wasn't until we showed it to everyone in the world that we realized we had wasted tens of millions of dollars. That's it. They cannot say that, and you will never get it. And anytime someone says it to you, then that's the lie, because that's the business that they are in. I just don't know that it can be fixed if it is, indeed is kind of broken in the design. Mm-hmm. And I fear what's going to happen to it will be what happened with Infinite, that they will go back, they will look at every asset they have available. They're clearly too far along to scrap it. They can't really go all the way back and start over. They've got to do something. And what usually comes out the other end is compromised.
Yeah.
It may be playable, maybe all right, but it's compromised. An ugly experience.
I say it's a rare opportunity. It's coming to my mind, and you guys may have a better example or may have another example, but BioShock Infinite is one of the few that I've ever seen where we saw something different than what we ever got. And after we got what we did, we became, or at least I became, very fascinated with what once was.
Yeah, so did I. Been. So did I.
What was there?
And see, we're not talking. This was one of the, yeah, you know, not to beat on a dark horse, but.
All right.
There are clips, there are snippets out there in their published materials where you can watch it. There is no way that the narrative was ever originally anything like what it's supposed to be.
Right.
It was all like, it was something completely different because the relationship between the two main characters in Comstock was demonstrably different. It's in the dialogue.
Yeah, so, Comstock was more like a generic Colombian politician.
Yeah, and he was specifically at odds with other major people that he was eventually amalgamized with. Like, it's, and it had problems. And it
she
came
had
out,
different powers.
Yeah, she had very different powers. She interacted with you completely differently. And what kills me, and I'm sorry, man. I get it. I get that things are not equal for everybody. But the only thing anybody out there who bothers to talk about what games mean could talk about was her boobs, man. That's it. That's all they could summon. That's the extent of their intellectual reach. Not talking about design, right? Because there's some bosoms thrust upward, like in the place here, and that's where all the photographs are, and that has to be the only thing we talk about. And, like, I do get it. I do understand. But not even in any of the meaningful postmortems has anybody sat down and talked about this is what's wrong with why the industry works the way it does. Because in one end go good intentions. Out the other end comes like a mangled, weird corpse. It's like one of those things where people make plush toy versions of what a child drew, and it's a horrible, freakish nightmare. That's what's coming out the other end. And it's largely because of reasons like this, because the design is, like, so terribly compromised because of the costs of the business and everything else, you know? No wonder they stick boobs on everything. They're just hoping you won't see past them. And it worked!
Well, we're going to take a break real quick. You agree with us, you disagree with us, you got some more to add to it. You can chime in the chat room or on Facebook. You can send us a tweet or an email real quick, or you can call us 334-272-9228. We'll be back with more of this discussion here in just a moment on In-Game Chat. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Going over our disappointments of 2013 and kind of stretched out beyond there to just cover some of the disappointments that we either thought were 2013 or close to it, and just disappointments overall in general. I look over to RJ now. Anything that you found disappointing this year for you?
Well,
lack of fighting games released?
No, I'm fine with that.
Oh, good.
I'm going to go along the lines of what Jeremy said, something I felt should have been out in 2013. I'm kind of disappointed in Sega for their handling of Phantasy Star Online 2, because I believe that game came out in Japan a year and a half ago, and we were I was expecting a domestic release, and it hasn't come out yet. And the delay has been so long that people have made patches and programs to take the Japanese version and make their own English version. And no official word from Sega of Japan that I know to put the green light on an American version. So that was a disappointment in and of itself. So right now, all I got to look forward to is the Singapore version, I believe, that's coming out, with which already has English patches and menus and dialogue that I can install on my system when it comes out.
If I've never said it before, I'm glad you're on the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad you're on the show.
Different
show
takes.
Up. Well, I would never have known any of that, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's a title I don't follow, and it's a title that, you know, I would have glossed over in any kind of news item.
Yeah, it was just something I had a lot of fun with on the Dreamcast and PC when it came out with Phantasy Star Universe, and I was looking really forward to the sequel to Phantasy Star Online. It just never came to be. I just have to get the Japanese version, but with fixes. But there's another version coming out that I can look into. Unless Sega puts out the announcement that they're going to do a domestic version, I'll be going that route.
You have a love-hate with Sega, don't you?
Well, not hate, just disappointment right now.
Yeah.
For that title, anyway.
Maybe it'll be like a typing of that overkill and just like come out of nowhere. It's like, here's PSO2. Have
mm-hmm.
fun.
Yeah, maybe. Doubt it, but I can only hope. I can only hope.
Jeremy, you had mentioned that Watch Dogs is one of your disappointments. Were there any games that came into the...
We've pretty much covered all the games. The only other major disappointment I can think of for me in 2013 was the Xbox One announcement through release.
I had a note about that, too. Where are you at on that specifically? Because I want to...
I was thinking about how horrible we all felt when they unveiled it at E3. And talked about TV and sports and TV and TV and TV and sports.
I think you forgot about they also talked about TV.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And up through their mishandling of the DRM question and the lackluster specs and just the entire, like, everything between April and November was just horrible. Every time the Xbox One came up, and that was disappointing.
There are no console warriors in this studio, by the way. There are no fanboys. There is nobody who inherently prefers one platform over the other because of fanboyism. It's mm-hmm. all either... I mean, in the case of RJ, it's even more just library-based and history-based, but it is not... None of us would ever specifically cheer the failure of mm-hmm. of the Xbox. We have promoted the idea, if only in the hopes that if it crashed... That they would
learn valuable
that they would learn valuable lessons. That's about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a terrible mess. I even regret, and I hope you'll understand the context of this statement. I regret their reversal on all of their policies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they were going to be nearly as usurious as people think. I just don't. I don't think it was going to be all that tragic. And you're getting shed of plastic discs one way or another, man, whether
yeah.
you like it or not.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. And that's, you know, whatever. That's neither here nor there. Whether it would have been as bad as we thought or anything else, that's not my point. My point is it would have been more interesting to see whatever it was. We never actually heard what a lot of it was going to be.
Because they weren't very good at telling
they
you
were,
what it was going
they
to be.
They were pants at it, man. They were terrible. And so we never got... the full message, and I just would like to have heard whatever it was, if I could then point and laugh at it, if I could mock it or claim that, yes, actually, truly, this is as bad as people say. But it's so much of it is based on people's memory of the last, you know, 8 or 9 months, mm-hmm. not anything that actually happened, because they were at cross purposes. They were arguing against themselves. It was all just hot garbage. And Sony didn't say anything. Yeah, it's, you know, whatever. Not doing anything. And so it made for just a mess. Just an ugly, messy conversation. I think it put a lot of, you know, bad blood out there
mm-hmm.
for people. And it reinforced people making bad decisions and defending bad decisions. And I don't know. I wish it had been a clean fight, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about that. And another thing to add, he talks about the game industry as a whole, is your disappointments. you really don't have to name any names on this. There's plenty of examples for you, but a lot of games journalism was a disappointment this year.
Was, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. It's an evolving thing. The conversation is changing, and I don't think it's changing for the better.
Yeah.
I really don't. I think it has gotten deeply cynical in some corners, and I think it's out of its depth in others. I think games journalism doesn't know where it is at the moment, whether they should be actively representing the interests of readers, which is impossible financially, or burrowing in and just committing to the interests of their sponsors, which is not going to keep them around for very long.
No.
And they've took a beating as well because the people that participate on YouTube have had an awful hard time in the last few months.
Right.
I mean, it's been a bad year in terms of evolution, and it's an ongoing series of changes, and it's like that's always really ugly. Change is always very disruptive, very destructive. And I don't think we're in a particularly good place now. You know, there's nothing like, you know, Rockefeller money that's going to come along and establish a journalistic point of view, a journalistic outlet to provide pure journalism about the games industry. It's a propaganda wing funded by the games industry, supposedly representing the views of people, but they don't, not even the best of them. I mean, well, the best of them, sure, but they're not getting any real money, you know? It's a nasty thing. It's real ugly. It's real bad. It ain't going to get better.
I mean, we saw it. We saw a lot of flare-up with SimCity when that released as far as the journalistic part of things and what was going on there. We saw it again with the Xbox One initial reveal when people defended Microsoft's stance on what they were doing or didn't have any kind of question of that. We saw it again in the 720p, 1080p situation as well, when it was kind of ignored that had any implication as to this is better or that is better or anything like that.
And it wasn't just ignored. They were at times mocking people who thought that it was an important conversation.
Mocking, that's a given.
Yeah.
they're gonna mock their audience.
Yeah, like, oh, it doesn't matter. Both games look fine. It's about the gameplay. It's not about how pretty it looks.
It's about both, man.
Yeah.
It's about a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
It's an awful lot about a lot of things. And your idea is that you're going to tell me what matters. You are insulted.
And in particular, console releases have always been about how much more pretty things
they
look.
Always have. Because they always have looked a lot more pretty. But now, suddenly, the one time they don't.
Yeah.
It's unnecessary.
Yeah.
That's a factor that doesn't really matter. Like, why are we talking about this? It's fine. How many P's it has? Who cares?
Stufu in the chat room says, I wanted to see Microsoft go forward their original Xbox One decisions just so they could learn a deeper lesson from it, not to see them fail from it.
Yeah.
But and I kind of agree with him there. Sure, go through with it. You might have just changed things completely or set a new standard or whatever the case. We don't really know what you would have done. You could have broken the entire thing, but it had been your failure on it. And we'd have either gotten something better from you next time or you'd have made it work this time somehow.
Haven't we mentioned in the past that it seems like every third generation from a console is the one that does the worst? Whether it's the N64, the Saturn, the Dreamcast.
It's a pattern.
It's a historical pattern. Yeah. That's
so,
absolutely.
You know, the PS3 and now this.
Right. Because what we really wanted from Microsoft was, A, to avert the curse.
Yeah.
And what we more want is for them to pull a Sony. Sony did this stuff. It worked bad. Then they changed everything about it. And now it's working good. If you could do that, please. That would be wonderful. Thank you very much. Signed, people who play games and love them. And we're not there yet. I think really what we've got are systems that are okay, but they're unoffensive. You know, it's they didn't try anything hard enough to be offensive. They didn't try hard enough to fail significantly. The machines aren't good enough. They aren't aggressive enough. They aren't powerful enough. They aren't feature-rich enough, and they're not trying anything particularly new or interesting that hasn't already been done better elsewhere years back. So how could you fail? I own my PS4. I like my PS4, but they're kind of boring. they've never been boring before. Never been bored by a console release. Fascinating modernism.
Dennis, I look to you. Disappointments for 2013.
Is that
a sigh because there's so many?
No. Well, I mean, you know, you have games like Titan Dead Overkill, and it's like, no, 2013 was the year of the year. This is the best year ever. That's the only, because I'll play that game and be happy. But as far as disappointments, in all seriousness, I wish there were more, not necessarily good games, but like games that I would be excited about on the Wii U.
That's a good thing to be disappointed about, is that you don't have a lot to be excited for on the Wii U.
Well, I mean, there's good games. It's just
that you personally, I say.
Yeah, there's just nothing on there that's like, I really hate that I don't own this game. It's kind of like I could miss out on that.
You know, that's a good point. I'm in the same boat for my 3DS, which, by the way, I know A Link Between Worlds, I think, is probably a great one, but you're picking one out of.
Yeah, out of a lot. It's like
a lot. And it's like, okay, good. I got to own this for that one release every year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Well, even
like,
that.
Yeah, it was like PSP had Kingdom Hearts come out, and it's like, that's the only game I was ever interested in on the original PSP. And that's it. Yeah. There was nothing else really calling me, or whatever there was I could get on another system.
In terms of Wii U, the only game I was looking forward to was Bayonetta 2, but like I've always said, I can't justify
buying so you're in the same boat.
Yeah.
For just one game. I can't do that.
Bayonetta 2 was an attempt to get people like you to buy the system.
Yeah.
Well, they failed miserably.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Come with more than that.
Nobody's pretending otherwise. Well,
so was Zombie U in that.
Yeah. I mean, I recognize that it wouldn't have happened without their involvement. I do recognize that, but it wasn't altruism. No such animal in video gaming. Mm. Period. In my opinion, but that's another podcast.
Well, what about yours? What are yours? I mean, we've gone over, there's a lot that fall in there, but any games that we haven't brought up?
Honestly, nothing specifically game-related. I think disappointment infers that I had some expectation, and I have become very, very good at managing my expectations. I can look at a game and say, yeah, that wasn't very good in retrospect, or I had hoped this other thing would happen, but it's never a big deal for me. I'm not driven by a wave of blind desire. I mean, I'm ravenously interested in playing everything that's going to come out, but I have gotten accustomed to a lot of disappointments, and they only take certain shapes, and I've seen plenty of them, and so disappointment is something a little bit different. Things that disappoint me are, what's going on with EverQuest Next?
Yeah, really.
The first module of that we were all supposed to be collectively working in, that yes, everybody knows it's just copying some kind of Minecraft thing. I don't care. It was being used to source all of the world material in the eventual game's release. And we were promised in no uncertain terms that would be out and available at the end of this year. That module.
That's right.
That free-to-play module would be available at the end of 2013.
God, what was it called? Land? I can't remember. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Where is it? Nope, we have to shut up now because we spent too much time talking and not enough time thinking and working. We got ahead of our message. We are slaves to the date like everyone else. So we had to show up, make an announcement, fill it with garbage lies, and then disappear. So, that's great. That's great. Where is that? Where's Mantle?
Mm-hmm.
Where's Mantle? Where's my Mantle API? I was supposed to see that by Christmas. What happened to it? I mean, clearly it's been pushed back, but no conversation, no talking about it, only bloviating promises, garbage, all the rest of it. I would frankly really, really like for people to stop even trying to communicate if they cannot follow through at all. If they can't touch base, if they can't get back to us, if anything. It's perpetual, it's been ongoing. But it probably upsets me more than anything else that's happening in the industry right now.
It just keeps that wheel keeps spinning, basically. It's cyclical.
Yeah.
It's always going to be that way. It's always going to happen. You're always going to have moments where a game gets hyped beyond what it should be. You're always going to have lies, like Watch Dogs.
But see, I feel a little bit better about something like that, or something like even, this is going to sound weird, Battlefield 4. I don't think DICE's and EA are incapable of putting out a good game that isn't broken. I think their problem is that they have already decided, regardless of where the game is in development, that it is hitting a date. It will be out on this day. And you will do absolutely everything to stitch it together, stand it up on two feet, and shove it out the door. and will worry about how long it can move along later.
Right.
I even understand that part of the thing, but you are under no such obligation where announcements and promises of things that don't even have release dates yet are concerned. So why? Why do you persist in this? Why? Frankly, I think they don't have, I don't know, I don't think they care about the games.
So you want to go to E3 this year?
Being at E3 would... If I'm in a mood like this when we go to E3, I will probably be given the bum's rush and tossed out.
One other thing that disappointed me kind of this year was the fact that out of the four games that I backed on Kickstarter, only one of them come through so far. I'm still waiting on Broken Age. That was supposed to come out, you know, in the beginning of this year. I know Star Citizen's not, you know, that one
Ever
I had
coming
no,
out.
Well,
it'll come out. I mean, it's not like the game was due out this year, but they've already fallen way behind.
They've fallen
in
way
their
behind.
Ability to deliver.
Yeah. Wasteland 2, at least, you know, the I have they're doing open beta right now. Mm-hmm. And so at least that one's getting close. But, you know, just the Broken Sword, you know, that's the only one that came out of the ones that, you know, were supposed to be out earlier this year. So that was kind of disappointing for me. I think especially, you know, Broken Age, just because I was expecting them to, you know, reach a time more on that one, but still waiting.
Half-Life 3 is still not out either.
Yeah, well, I'm not even going to that.
I ain't letting Valve off. I know they haven't done anything. They don't talk about it, and they don't...
I think they're working more on Left 4 Dead 3 than Half-Life.
They're working on Left 4 Dead 3, so they're working more on Left 4 Dead 3 than Half-Life. Yeah.
Yes.
Than Ricochet 2.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Just to switch gears a bit and go into... you know, something that, you know, I'm extremely excited about and that kind of proud of, I guess I should say, is...
Yeah, you bought a new car, dude. We know.
It's not that. It's not that, actually. It's not that. It's us being back on the radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all right.
At that point where it was like, it's do or die. We're either doing it or... We're not doing it anymore, and we're back on the radio, and we're doing it for a year.
Got to show up every week. Got to keep it under 2 hours.
Yeah, and...
two things we were really, really kind of bad at last time.
It was, yeah, that was... that didn't work out so well. I mean, we would skip entire months. It's like, oh, we got Thanksgiving coming up. Nobody's gonna show up for that. We might as well, and then it would be January before we'd come back and do a show again. So I'm glad that we're back on the air. I'm glad we got Twitch that we do, and I know we don't utilize it enough. We're gonna try and
change
that. Oh,
that's in the resolution category. Don't even start.
That is. So, you know, and we're appreciative of everybody in the chat room and everybody that listens, you know, however you do listen to the show. We're really appreciative of you guys. And the support that you guys give as well. Is just unbelievable. I get comments on purchases that I make on Steam from people who listen to the show and know that, you know, hey, it's great. You bought all these games. We're never going to hear about them, are we? I'd really like to know if that's a really good game, but you're probably not going to play that anytime soon, are you? Because they'll see the bulk of games that you pick up during the Steam sale or something like that. So it's just great. You get the emails that you get from people, and you get other people who happen to just listen to the show. And know you exist and then you find out that they actually enjoy what it is we do. I mean, it's what we do anyway.
We've been doing this for 7 years now.
Yeah, we're into we're starting our eighth year.
Yeah.
So lots of anyway, so that's it's just something I enjoy and something that I'm proud of. So thanks everybody in the chat room. Glad you're here. So anyway, we got about 6 minutes left in the show. And not much else to talk about. Or do we?
Well, speaking of...
Don't be weird.
Not doing things anymore. I'm not going to be doing the show anymore. This is my last episode. I've been thinking about it for a while, and it's just been getting harder and harder for me to do it. So this is it.
You have babies.
I know. And it gets harder and harder to keep up with them and harder to find time to do other things, so... It was already, you know, when we came back to the radio, I was already only able to do every other episode. But it's, like I said, it's only been getting tougher. So Whatever, I'll keep running the website and see if I can do some other stuff.
And you'll still be active. Will you still be joining in the chat? Will you still be popping in the chat room during shows and stuff like that? Or you just
sometimes I might. Yeah.
You know. All right. Cool.
Like I said, I'll see what other sort of stuff I can get involved in. But this is it for me on the air.
Yeah, and it was nice that you actually were able to be here when pretty much everybody could make it.
Yeah,
the show.
That was nice. You guys all showed up just because.
We planned that.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, this is one of the rare, I don't think since we've been back on the air that we've had everybody in at the same time. I think this is the first time that we've been back on the air that we've had everyone on the show with us. So glad you can make it for this one to finally be your last one anyway. Wow. Thanks for the 7 years, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
That's been fun.
Because I tell you, when we first started doing this back in 2007, there were times that James couldn't make it. There were times when
I could almost never make it.
Yeah, you couldn't. There were times when it was just me and you.
Mm-hmm. That was stressful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stressful indeed. Goodness. But yeah, so thanks.
Yeah.
And it's not like I'm not going to talk to you again or something that.
Yeah, so. It's not even weird for us.
Yeah,
I think we're just trying to recognize that it's maybe weird for other people. But I got to hang out with him Monday through Friday.
Yeah.
Although, like, it's no different to me whatsoever. We're still going to talk about games, like, all day.
Yep.
All week long.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that'll do it for the show. Yeah, that's it. Great to have you all in here. Hate that this is the last time it's ever going to happen.
Just a sap.
I am a sap for 7 years, man. 7 years.
Yeah, I know.
So.
And then he'll drive off in his new car.
Yeah, and I'll be over it very quickly.
Yeah, right.
Jira who?
All right, well, that'll do it for us. Thanks, everybody, for joining us in the chat room, as well as everybody listening on the stream, or everybody who's listening on the radios. Mike from Prattville, thanks for calling in. Really appreciate you guys. Don't forget to join us on Twitter, Facebook. You can find our forums at colonyofgamers.com. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. And if you're on Steam, we've got a Steam group you can join up with over there and play games with us and other listeners. So thanks, everybody, for joining us. We will see you next Saturday.